To the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. And please come join us on Sunday, December 24th at 7 p.m. for our Christmas Eve candlelight service. Our stained glass windows are reflected so beautifully in the candlelight. All are welcome here at 333 South Chestnut Street, Seymour. And today's scripture comes from John chapter 1, 6 through 8, and 19 through 28, followed by our sermon, Shine the Light, by Pastor Angel Armstrong. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I am not the Messiah." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord." Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. God's word for God's people.
Thanks be to God. Good morning. I absolutely loved Reverend Daniel Christensen's message during our centennial celebration. He talked about Motel 6 being known for the saying that we will leave a light on for you. He talked about all of the prodigals and all of the lost children in our world today. He told us, we are the church. We are the light that beckons to all of those prodigals, all of the drug addicts, all of the lost sons and daughters, all of the people who so desperately need this church to be present here so that they can come in from the darkness. You know, everybody who goes to church thinks that we all know everything about the Christmas story and about Jesus. When I first came to the Lord, I remember taking a class at Indiana Wesleyan, and I remember the professor saying, "I want you to reflect on this real quick. What did you know about the New Testament before taking this class, and what did you know about it after?" And I can remember I wrote down that I knew that Jesus Christ was born in a manger and died on a cross, for you see those symbols everywhere. But at 33 years old, I did not know that he was the Son of God. I did not know that he rose from the grave. I did not know that he had the power to take my sins upon himself and restore me to God the Father. And you know, I'm not the only one. I worked for a therapeutic foster home that dealt with some of the most abused children in the state of Indiana. I worked there for 6 years. In that time, I saw 500 kids come through there. children who had the most horrid abuse that you could ever imagine. And praise be to God, by the time I left, only three of them had not prayed with me. But I remember taking them on the Walkway of Lights. Marion, Indiana has a fantastic Walkway of Lights, and it has a huge display of the manger scene. And I would take those kids through there. And believe it or not, many, many of those kids knew nothing about the manger scene. They knew nothing about the shepherds and the angels or the baby Jesus Christ. And I had the most astounding pleasure of telling them the Christmas story. Beloved, we are called to do as the scripture Chad read today. Prepare ye the way in this dark world for those who need the light. Either those who have burnt out and lost the will to live, to care, and need to see the light of Jesus Christ, or the prodigals who are lost for one reason or another, or perhaps those who know nothing about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I chose today to read portions of the Advent candle reading. Normally, they're read by a family, by one person, by a couple of people. But I chose today to read part of that for several reasons. Number one, Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 is my call. And more importantly, it is the life call of Jesus Christ, prophesied by the prophet Isaiah 700 years before Jesus was ever born. Not only did Isaiah tell us all about the virgin birth, not only did Isaiah tell us about the life of Jesus Christ and what he was called to do, he even went into detail about our Lord's personality and who he was 700 years before the birth of the miracle child. Our God was preparing us. I love Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And beloved, he has sent you to bind up the brokenhearted time and time and time again. We are the Bible that other people see. When we go through terrible things in our life and we still have the joy of the Lord. Joy is not the absence of pain and chaos. Joy is the deep abiding knowledge that our God so loved us that he sent Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ has promised to be with us until the end of the age, and we will get to live in eternity with him. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release from darkness for the prisoners, that people might know that we do have the strength, we do have the power in the Holy Spirit to break free from our bad habits, to break free from our sins. Next week, Tom Harris will be sharing his profession of faith and becoming a member of the church. And in that profession of faith, every person joining the church is asked, will you renounce evil in all of its forms? And will you take upon yourself the power of Jesus Christ, that you might renounce that evil, that you might live for the coming kingdom? Here's the part where you all come in. because you all are called to this as well, to comfort all who mourn. And this church does such a good job of that time and time again. I see you coming alongside of one another. I see you going to visit a lot more than I'm able to do. I see you calling one another, sending a card, being deeply present for each other. And that, beloved, changes lives. That is being Jesus with skin on. And to provide for those who grieve, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. Beloved, this world is lost and dark, and there are people so filled with despair that they don't want to go on living anymore, or they have hardened their hearts so much that they are simply existing, putting one foot in front of another, providing for their family, and making it through day by day. That is not how we are called to live. And I don't care how great any preacher is you've ever had or will ever have, they will not proclaim the gospel message to your loved ones near as well as what you yourself will do when you prepare ye the way in the darkness of this world simply by living the way that you do for Jesus Christ. When they see you go through terrible trials, when they see you go through grief, and do it humanly, cry, get mad, whatever, go through all the stages. When they see you be able to do that, they wonder, what is it about that person that makes them different? They've not shut down. They're not hollow. They're not cold. They're not hard. And they'll ask you, or they'll come to the realization all on their own that the difference is Jesus Christ, our Savior. Secondly, the Gospel of Luke records Jesus Christ himself at 12 years old. 12 years old, reading this scripture in the temple as he was being prepared to fulfill his life's ministry, as he was being prepared to show us the way that we can live with one another. You know, I think most people who know about Jesus Christ know that he died upon the cross for forgiveness of our sins. But do we think about the fact that he was born wrapped in flesh, incarnate, so that he would know how we feel, that he suffered every trial that we have ever suffered, yet he sinned not. He was being prepared at 12 to live this scripture out. Thirdly, this following portion of the Advent candle reading pertains to today's message, and it is something that we are all called to do. We wait as people who experience hardship and pain, yet we are called to witness to the persistent joy that sustains our life as God's people. Preparation. Do you know many people don't realize what kind of preparation it takes for a senator, for a governor, and for most importantly, the president of the United States to visit a community? Months and months before he visits, they send what they call advanced men to that community, and they drive over and over again the route to come into the town, to come to the place where the president is to speak. And the closer they get to that place of presentation, they stop and they go through every building leading up to there, and they search it and they observe it from the roof to the basement to ensure that they keep him safe. safe. John the Baptist was one of those advanced men. He prepared the way for us, not for the head of state, but for the most important human being ever known to man. For Jesus Christ was both fully divine and fully human. And John the Baptist prepared ye the way. He said that we are to be a road in the desert, to make paths straight, so that those prodigals, so that those people who have never heard about the saving grace of Jesus Christ might come to Him. Our world has already been visited by the Holy One from God, so we don't need an advanced person. Or do we? Do we? Did we miss part of John's message? Are we in so much of a hurry to get through the hustle and bustle of this season? Or are we so familiar with the Christmas story, with all the traditions, that we bypass the fact that John the Baptist called us to prepare the way, to make the roads straight? Two words from this passage stand out the most today, and they are witness and light. Last week, we heard John call for repentance and change. Today, we hear him call for preparing for Christmas by building a straight road in the desert for God to travel on. You know, you'd think that John was talking about reconstructing Tipton, Highway 50. You know, fill all those potholes in, make sure that there's no detours, make sure that you can travel straight through. Making it straight and smooth so that people can find the glory of God. What does Isaiah say is the purpose for all of this construction? So that the glory of the Lord may be revealed for all the world to see. Folks, John's message about Christmas is that God wants every single person to have the choice to come to Christ Jesus. You know, so many people don't know the word. And now, there's strange rumors going about there's no hell. God is love. He won't send anybody to hell. They're all going to heaven. Well, if you've read this word, you found out it talks more about spiritual warfare and hell than it does about heaven. And our God wants each and every person on the face of the earth to have the opportunity to come to Jesus Christ, because it is a choice to live the Christian life. While that might seem like a trite statement, John is telling us that God expects you and I to do something as a result of what God did on Christmas. So many Christians have what I call armchair faith. They come to church at least once a month. They expect to be spoon-fed the gospel. They expect to be entertained. And that's it. They don't go home and read the Word of God. And beloved, each and every one of you should be in the Word. You should not take what I say, even what your parents and grandparents said. You should interpret the Word for yourself. Open it up. Pray. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal Himself to you. To be sure, Christians nowadays come to church at least a couple of times a year. But do they really have the strong faith that is needed to get them through the hardships of life? Our relationship to God is not a consumer faith. We don't walk into a shop and on a shelf be able to pick off what we need, what passage we need, what tradition we need in order to get through the life circumstances that we are facing. No, the Christian faith is an active one. All should be involved, each and every one of us, all year round. John is saying that we are called to build these roads everywhere, into our jobs, into our schools, into our communities, our neighborhoods, our families, anywhere and everywhere we go. That second word that stands out in this passage is light. A couple of weeks ago, I read about an experimental generator that runs on natural gas and can be easily set up in your home in order to provide for all the electrical needs should the power go out. It made me realize just how far we have come in the area of technology, at least by providing light to see. However, I read in the same newspaper all about disasters, shootings, divorces, drug overdoses. That light that is needed to save lives cannot be generated by a generator. It can only be generated by Jesus Christ, and it comes through us. For if actions speak louder than words, and they do, then this Christmas, God is virtually shouting to the world that he cares enough to place the light in the dark spots of the world, in our lives, in the places where people cannot seem to shine their own light. Christmas is about the end of isolation, the end of despair, that even our best efforts cannot seem to fix. Christmas is about hope. It is about peace, the Prince of Peace. It is about joy, the joy that resonates in us even when we're going through hard times. And it is about love, for Christ himself is love. We need to hear this message again and again and again because it becomes too familiar. The Christmas story, most of us can say by rote, just the same as we can say the Lord's Prayer while we are creating our grocery list. This should not be so. Each and every Christmas, we should be in awe again of how much our Father God loves us that he sent Jesus Christ. We are to tell everyone who will listen that the light has already come. Once again, I want to paraphrase John's Advent message. Prepare the way of the Lord. Or, as my friend Reverend Daniel Christensen said, leave the light on. He touched my heart deeply by describing all of those who are lost and lonely and needy. And the very fact that we, who are the church, have exactly what they need. They come into here to find a place of belonging. They come into here to find a love so deep that it touches them to their very core. They come here to see the light of Jesus Christ